New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome back to the one and only Cavs the Podcast, featuring commentary from all of your favorite Cavs the Blog bloggers.
Welcome to the 2024-2025 first podcast of the season for Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. With me is Eli Kim and Chris Francis. And I think even with the COVID months, this is the longest we've ever gone without a podcast. I think the last podcast was June, and it's been about 4 months. And that is 100%. 80% my fault, and then I'll give you two each 10%.
I'll take that. Take that and run with it.
80-20 rule right there.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I've been doing nothing but working and going on trips with my wife and enjoying the summer and lamenting and getting mad at the Guardians and exuberant at the Guardians and just living that whole experience the last 3-4 weeks. And yeah, it's been a great few months. I missed you all, but I'm happy to be back. Eli, what have the last 4 months been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of work, travel, and not really thinking about basketball. I figured if the Cavs aren't going to do anything, then I'm not going to do anything.
Exactly.
Worry about it.
Exactly. What about you, Chris? Cleveland Chris Francis, as we call him.
That's right. Yeah, man. Finally, after 30 years of not living in the 216 area code, I've made it back. Yeah, it feels great too. You know, Cleveland rocks. I don't know why people talk shit. It's awesome.
It's a great town.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the job, definitely, is good and, definitely, you know, at least meaningful for me. So, yeah, so I'm enjoying it. Yeah. Let's go, you know, go Cavs, baby.
That is all you can ask for. And with that, let's get into, I feel like for me, I didn't put a lot of stock in preseason for the Cavs. I kind of got the Cavs to me feel like that team that in the NFL, like 100% did not care about preseason, was 100% just continuation of the previous year, stay healthy, and hit the ground running tomorrow. Of course, they did not stay healthy. Max Strus out for 6 weeks. Chris, do you put any stock in the Cavs preseason?
A little bit. I mean, just in terms of, you know, I was going through the stats for preseason and stuff like that and just seeing if anything changed, what popped out and all that kind of stuff. And I think the offense has definitely undergone a total overhaul. Like, there is a completely different offensive system that they're trying to implement.
Is it a system or is it a mentality or is it both?
I think it's Kenny Atkinson's system. So, like, they are now, they were second in the NBA in pace for the preseason. I know super small sample size, but considering this team was 30th, 29th, you know, always near the bottom.
I think they were 28th the last year.
Yeah. Around there. And that's probably high for a JB Bickerstaff coach team for this Cavs iteration. Like, they were second, you know. And then I looked at 3-point attempts, because the two things that were promised from Kenny Atkinson were 3-point attempts and pace. And 3-point attempts were up to top 10 in the preseason. So all of a sudden, we've gone from one of the teams that shot the least amount of threes and were the slowest paced team to now the one of the fastest paced teams and teams that shoot a normal amount of NBA threes for 2024.
Now, I will say that the number last year was actually, I was wrong. It was 22nd in the league in pace. I think they were last in the playoffs. I think they were near the very bottom.
They were close to last. They were definitely close to last the prior 2 years, especially when Darius Garland was the prior to, you know, the one playoff or play-in year they had without Donovan.
Yeah, and I have seen, like, the penchant for taking threes early in the shot clock, crashing from the corners. I still see a lot of the same actions, but everybody in the NBA runs the same sets anyway. But I've seen different permutations of those actions and then just a lot more willingness to shoot when open. Eli, what have you seen?
To be honest, I didn't watch much except the last game. I did think the offense looked a lot smoother, but I still think the Cavs have some personnel fits that are not ideal entering the season. But I do agree that I think the pace is definitely noticeable. It definitely fits kind of Donovan and Darius's strength as being quick guys. So it was good to see that. And then it was also really good to see Mobley actually, you know, initiate more offense, as, you know, we talked about. And I feel like this has happened the last couple of years too, where in the preseason he does try to, but this time I do think he had a little bit more success, albeit in the preseason.
We looked a lot stronger with the ball to me, like not as turnover prone and more confident. And that was always, and I don't know if it was JB, it was being in his first few years, but he definitely looked like a vet. He did not look like a young kid trying to figure it out on the court. So that was really good to see. The other thing that I will take the preseason with a grain of salt is they only played 4 games, I believe. Whereas some of the other teams played like 6 games. So it's a lot easier to lead in pace when you're only playing like twice in a week, which they did on consecutive weeks. So, you know, take that for what it is worth. But I did like a lot of stuff I saw from preseason, especially from, I know, your favorite guy. Who's a rookie there, Chris?
Oh, Jalen Tyson, baby. Let's go.
What'd you think of Jalen in the preseason? I was impressed.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Like, thank God for him. You know what I mean? I don't want to see... I was slandering Okoro before. I've amended that agenda. I don't want to see Niang on the floor now. This is the reason that we could bump. We could play some small ball with Okoro at the four. Put in Jalen Tyson. Thank God.
Jalen Tyson's the four to me because he can actually rebound.
Yeah, true. Whatever. You know, I mean, basically you have four switchable guys on the perimeter,
right.
You know, surrounded by either Mobley or whoever, whichever big you want to put on the floor with them, you know, but I think it's a highly versatile switchable. He adds versatility, switchability, you know, just, you know, he can fit with a
lot. I feel like he can play four positions and guard four positions.
I would agree. At least in this small ball era, for sure.
Yeah, and he's got a really good handle. Like, I think in terms of just, I think he's the fourth best point guard on the team right now.
Could be. Like, it's hard to, they didn't really give him that many point guard opportunities because of Craig Porter Jr. during the preseason, I think.
Well, and also Ty Jerome.
Yeah, Ty, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He played more of the 2-3, 3-4 role, but I mean, I just like what, you know, it was just kind of his maturity. That's what everybody talks about. It's he's 21 years old, but he plays like a 5-year NBA vet. He just knows the game, knows how to affect the game, even if he's not getting the ball. He's not going to sulk, you know, he's not going to pout, you know, he's going to go make a play.
I love that he did not do too much. Like, when the ball wasn't coming to him, like, the one guy that was driving me absolutely batty was one of their, now I got to look at their roster, but they had a prop 10 guy that was just like, every time he touched the ball, he was just jacking up a terrible shot. And I just couldn't stand watching him. Like, there's too many.
Wasn't it Zaire Smith?
No, it wasn't Zaire Smith. It was the other guy. It was the rookie. Zaire Smith is fine. He just doesn't do anything. Like, he's just an athletic body. Like, the ship has sailed for Zaire. But, yeah, no, I'll go back and look.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think for me, the overarching thing was the starters look great. It's the second unit that kind of looked unsettled. And also the cascading effect of now Strus being injured, you know, that basically from everything that's been reported, that's basically bringing back Niang into the equation, you know, because they're going big by putting Dean Wade, you know, all indications are Dean Wade is going to be the starting forward in Strus's absence. So it's the cascading effects of the second unit that are the concern from preseason, in my opinion.
No, I'm with you. And you know, I don't love, I think that's my biggest concern going into
none of the backup. Like, if you go and look at the numbers, the only two guys that actually played really well, or at least when the only two guys on the court when the Cavs played actually well were when Jared Allen or Dean Wade were on the floor. And Donovan, you know, when those three were on the floor, the Cavs were able to play some winning basketball. Outside of that, everybody struggled because, and I think it's the implementation of a new system and also new rotations, you know, like Atkinson is definitely, you know, praise the Lord, you know, it looks like Dean Wade is now in the head of the pack, you know, between Dean Wade, Georges Niang, Isaac Okoro, Sam Merrill, Caris LeVert, you know, so, you know, it's obvious that Atkinson's making some adjustments and it's not been that smooth to begin with. And, you know, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out because the offense is doing what he wants, which is playing fast and jacking threes.
Yeah, for sure. Eli, anything else to add about preseason?
I'm just glad it's over.
Yeah,
let's get
same.
To the real stuff.
Preseason is like when your parents visit. You're excited for them to come, and you're even more excited when they leave.
Wow. I hope your parents aren't listening, Nate.
That they never are. And with that, we'll be right back.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Prescriptions, copays, lab tests. Even with insurance, healthcare can cost thousands every year. But not for me, because I'm enrolled in VA healthcare. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Welcome back to Cavs a Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. Chris Francis, Eli Kim. I did remember the name of the guy that jacked all the shots in preseason. It was Jules Bernard. If I never see him on a Cavs roster again, I will be happy. Eli, you were talking a little bit, hinting at the holes in the roster and some of the questionable fits. You want to, I mean, this is nothing new for this podcast, but let's break the seal on this conversation for the 2024-2025 season.
Yeah, so another year, another 6'8" three-point shooting size hole on the roster. And it's interesting because typically it's like we want more of a three, but actually this year I would have been fine with a 4 or 5 that could do some of those things. And the Cavs really didn't do anything this offseason. They added a rookie. They pretty much brought everyone back. And because of the injury to Strus, it kind of takes their ultimate Swiss Army knife of Dean Wade, possibly, you know, from the second unit to the first unit. And there's still just a gaping hole behind Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, in my opinion. So not sure what the solution is there. And maybe Dean Wade, as good as he is, I actually am extremely worried about his health because he's made out of glass. I mean, that's just his history and track record in the NBA. So I'm glad that he's shown his worth and showing how valuable he is. But in the same breath, I also worry that him playing a lot from the get-go may see us losing his availability as well.
If the Cavs were a Tennessee Williams play, they would be the glass menagerie. Chris, what were you going to say?
No, I totally agree with Eli in terms of Wade's health because, you know, preseason showing, basically he's on track for almost 30 minutes a game if Kenny Atkinson has his way. It's going to be really interesting to see if he's up to it.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of the talk in preseason was about how he worked on flexibility, worked on conditioning for his joints, put on some lean muscle mass. But, you know, we've heard it all before, and we just got to cross our fingers and hope, I guess. One of the things that I was very kind of puzzled by is that we did not see more of JT Thor in the preseason, which really is the only other guy on this roster that could legitimately play NBA center. And which other than Mobley or Allen who start. So I think it's going to be a little weird where you will see maybe like three guys come out on the first substitution. Because you don't want to run that starting unit into the ground when you've got two bigs, two guards that sub for each other, and then a third big in Dean Wade. It's a little bit weird that your backup forward somehow still appears to be Georges Niang.
Well, I'd say one at least rebuttal is that I want to say that JT Thor has leapfrogged Tristan Thompson.
Well, that is true. Oh, I forgot about the corpse of Tristan Thompson.
That's right. So,
oh my God, yeah, he looked completely washed, yes, in preseason.
Exactly. So
that's what happens when you can't take those special drugs.
Exactly. I know. You know, find a better, more discreet plug. Okay. Tristan, shout out to Tristan. Find a fall guy, for God's sake. Good God.
Yeah, are we all in agreement that not, like, even more than a wing, not getting a third big was probably the worst mistake of the offseason?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah. The hole remained. So, I mean, like, they basically, which you have to, I mean, like, they shouldn't have stood pat on Georges Niang.
Or Tristan Thompson, to be frank.
Yeah, exactly. Because everything post PEDs, he's been awful. Like, he needed those PEDs, basically. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's just screwed. So,
yeah. The Cavs were frankly lucky that JT Thor looked so good in the Olympics and that they were able to sign him on a two-way because he's the only real size they have on the bench at the big spot, you know.
Well, and I think he provides some versatility. I think you could – I'm surprised that there wasn't any experimentation with him at the three.
I was very impressed with what I saw from him at times in the preseason. He doesn't look like a stiff. Like, he looks somewhat adept at handling the ball. He's a good shot blocker. He'll shoot from three. I mean, he's not like a knockdown 3-point shooter, but he's not Tristan Thompson. So I wish I'd have seen more of him in the preseason. That's probably my biggest disappointment, but he is on a two-way. So it'll be interesting to see how the season shakes out. I would not be surprised to see him get a call sooner than later. Moving up the rotation because, you know, to your point, Tristan Thompson and Georges Niang are not striking fear in the heart of anyone around the basket anymore. Moving on, the other, I think, big... I feel like the Cavs have gone from a team that was thin at guard last year to, with the return of Ty Jerome, I think was probably the most pleasant surprise of the preseason. The return of Ty Jerome and then Sam Merrill getting a lot of run in the preseason. I don't think he played particularly well, but he didn't play particularly well in the previous preseason and had some pretty good stretches in the regular season last year. What do you think of the Cavs guard rotation, Eli? How do you think that's going to shake out?
Honestly, I think the guard rotation is really congested. So I'm actually curious how it does shake out because, honestly, I think it'd just be guessing at this point after kind of, you know, Darius Donovan and I guess to a certain degree LeVert when he plays there. But after that, I think it's kind of a free-for-all between, like, Jerome and Merrill and Strus, obviously, when he plays there as well.
And Porter Jr.
Yeah, I just don't think Craig Porter Jr. is going to get a lot of run in the regular season at all, to be honest.
I think that's probably a shame, but I think you're right.
Yeah, so I feel like if anything...
Eli, are you at the track?
Sorry. Yeah, my mic situation is not the best right now.
Are you at Thistledown?
No.
Are you watching some hot buggy racing?
I literally just have the game on, but the dishwasher's running. The only thing running right now is the dishwasher.
Nikola Jokic's buggy horse.
But I think that rotation is really tough, and I do wonder, I do think an easy way that the Cavs can get out of it is, you know, hopefully... I think Karras isn't expiring, so that could be, you know, potential decision. And, you know, at the very least, there's going to be a decision next offseason about that. And I do think Ty Jerome is kind of interesting because at least he's, you know, 6'6", so theoretically he could play other spots and not have to guard guards only. But that being said, I think the Cavs have, I mean, they basically have like seven guys that might need to play, right? Like you got Darius Donovan, Strus, LeVert, Merrill, Craig, and Jerome, and all those guys.
And Okoro,
and they all could fit and find some minutes. So that's what makes it really intriguing. But at the same time, I think that's kind of where the Cavs need to try to consolidate and look for incremental upgrades elsewhere, potentially.
Yeah, it's a weird roster in that they have like three small guards in Garland and Mitchell and Merrill. And then they have a bunch of medium-sized guards, and then they have like guys that can barely play the three. And then they have one guy with like real three size, and that's Dean Wade. And then they have like two bigs. It's a weird roster. I don't even know what to make of it. But like to your point earlier, Chris, they are going to be really switchy. So I definitely expect to see him switch a lot on D and pretty much hide Garland and Mitchell on the worst guys. And then yeah, Garland will probably be on the bench on defense at the end of games.
Their defense was pretty good in the preseason. It was their offense that was kind of like basically they couldn't make a three to save their lives. No one could make a three to save their lives. So that ended up looking really ugly. But I think as far as the point about rotations and the guard rotations, I think what's obvious is that Ty Jerome is, I agree with you both, like Ty Jerome is going to be an integral part of that guard rotation. Like it's a given, I think, that he's usurping Craig Porter Jr. You know, like whoever said that, like I totally agree. Ty Jerome is eating up, like he may even see minutes, you know, just period, you know, like, I think he's an essential part just because I think one thing is he ran the system with Kenny Atkinson at Golden State, the whatever the famous play is, the you know, the I can't remember split the split set or whatever.
Yeah.
Ty Jerome knows how to run the offense, so I think he's a given in the rotation, guard rotation. I think Sam Merrill, hopefully, you know, my hope, and it appears to be, I don't know if it was a tryout situation or a statement situation for Kenny Atkinson, but I think like he showed definitely a lot of trust and faith in Sam Merrill. You know, I think Sam Merrill is, it's his job to lose, you know, just based on, what he gives the Cavs is the same thing that Strus gives, which is a little bit of movement, shooting, cutting, you know, a little bit of playmaking, you know, being able to make the rudimentary passes in two-man games. So I think Sam Merrill is kind of the front runner outside of, and I think Caris LeVert is a given. I think to Eli's point about whether he'll be a trade asset or not, I agree, like he's an obvious trade asset candidate, but the problem is for the Cavs is that he was simply way too valuable for them last season. Like he was, I checked the LeBron stats just to see how the metrics, the advanced metrics were saying. And one of the most surprising things was Caris LeVert being a top four player for the Cavs last year. So like they can't really afford to lose him or trade him if they have any designs on doing anything this year. You know,
oh, Caris LeVert. I was wondering how long it would take for the Caris LeVert
agenda.
I'm
back on the cat. Exactly. We're back on the LeVert agenda. Oh, baby. Let's go.
Ben Worth's eyes just rolled out of his head, all the way from Germany.
Well, tell him to take it up with his calculator rat friends because that's what's saying it.
No, It was interesting. I didn't think Caris had the greatest preseason. I saw a lot of the things that drive me nuts about Caris. That being said, I feel like this offense will help him in that he will have a little more space to operate, hopefully. And he also
is
a guy.
That's a great point because that was the name, like listening to some of Fedor's work and reporting. That was the name of the game, he says, was the name of the game of the offseason, was spacing the offense, like getting these guys finally to be able to like space the floor and operate better. So that's a great point.
Yeah. And I would say that just he's not going to have to go one on three as much as he did at times last year. So hopefully he kind of finds the economy in his game. and doesn't try to do too much, because I think that's when he gets in trouble, is when he tries to ISO and do too much and not make the simple play. So we'll see how that goes. I'm trying to think what else, what other big storylines from the preseason for the Cavs. I don't feel like there's a lot. There wasn't a lot of drama. There wasn't a lot of, like, obviously the Max Strus situation. But other than that, everybody seemed pretty happy. I mean, when you've got 250, what was Mobley's contract extension, Eli?
I think it's like 227.
Yeah, and then Jared Allen got another $90 million, right? So when you got
100 million.
Yeah. So when you've got like $500 million worth of contract extensions floating around for you know, some of your mainline guys, that papers over a lot of drama. So we'll see what happens with the Cavs. The other storyline of the preseason that's outside of the Cavs is some of these crazy extensions that we saw in the last, 2 days. What do you think the worst extension we saw was, Eli?
Man, that's tough. I would say, I think Jalen Green's is really weird, to be honest.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, like, you're, why would you pay him that much and let him leave?
Yeah, what happened with that contract? Why was it strange?
So he signed a 2+1 3-year contract with a final year as a player option, I believe. Right, Eli?
That is correct.
At the max. So if you're going to max a guy, the whole point in maxing a guy is so that you control his future for the next, 5-6 years. And they didn't do that. It's like they got the worst of both worlds.
I see what you mean. So they paid him max money, but didn't extend it all the way to the 5 years of team control.
Correct. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But I also feel like he got I almost feel like they had to do it, but they didn't want to. So that's why they only gave him 3 years, because they're still a rebuilding team anyway. So they're like, well, we'll see if it works out in 3 years. And if it does, or if it doesn't, then we have the cap room then. Like, it's a total Tillman Fertitta move.
They're so screwed, though, because what happens if he, like, exceeds their expectations? He's not going to re-sign.
or they're going to have to re-sign him for, like, $50 million a year. Yeah, it makes no sense.
Wow.
If anything, it should have been a team option after that second year, not a player, because that would have made a lot more sense then, obviously.
Obviously,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, or like a team option with a minimum guarantee or something, you know, so at least he gets a buyout.
Do you like any of the deals, Eli?
I'm actually surprised by the Alperen Şengün one, because I feel like they hate him, like, actually. But they ended up paying almost the max, 5 years, 185 for him. And then I was really interested by the Jalen Suggs deal. I think they slightly overpaid for that, especially because his offense is so limited. And then I also just think it's weird that, like, some of the lower-end guys like Kispert and Moody got deals, but then, like, the Warriors didn't do anything with Kuminga, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, that is weird. Although I think Moody's a steal for what they got him for.
No kidding.
That's probably my
favorite one, isn't it? What do you think, Nate?
Oh, no, I think he's a total bargain for what they got him for. Like, I'd much rather him at that number than Kuminga near the max.
Or what about this? Isn't he getting? Who would you rather have, Moody or Okoro?
I think you know the answer to that. No, I would rather have. I would have a million times rather had Gary Trent Jr. on the mid level on what they paid Okoro. I would a million times rather had Gary Trent Jr. a guy who
That's
is a movement
point. Right no,
shooter.
I gotcha.
But I think Trent. Of all the guys in the offseason that I thought just got hosed, was he was one of them. But also, whenever something like that happens, I almost wonder if there's like something going on in the background that's not in the news, that like everybody knows this guy has a situation going on, and like,
or health concerns. Like maybe there's something, you know, like in doctor, you know, doctor visits or whatever.
Well, remember who got banned for life? What team, who got banned for life? What team did he play for? Toronto. So who knows what's going on there? You know,
you think it was a blue chip situation, Nate?
I don't know. But weird vibes coming out of Toronto.
Are you breaking some news?
No, I'm not. I'm literally just spitballing. I've had my head in a computer for the last 4 months. So either ChatGPT sending me subliminal signals or I'm full of shit. So,
by the way, do you know Gary Trent Jr. and Sr. from Columbus, Ohio, of all places?
Karis LeVert.
Let's go.
No, Karis LeVert
and
from...
Jay Sean Tate. No, they are. He is.
Oh, he
Karis
is.
Karis and Jay Sean went to high school in Pickerington. Yeah. Wait, which is out east of Columbus.
Aren't you from CBUS too, Eli?
Well, yeah, I live here, but
Where'd you grow up, Eli? Did you grow up in Columbus?
I went to high school here. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Very cool. Well, with that, we will be right back.
My education would cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, I'm paying zero. VA covers my tuition, supplies, and housing, and it can cover yours too. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back to Cavs of the Podcast. Eli Kim, that's not me. I'm Nate Smith. Chris Francis, he's here too. Just so you all know, that was not meant to be a dig on Eli when we went to the break. I just literally am super tired and had nowhere to go from a thought train point of view. So Chris is going to take us through some over-unders for the season. So we're going to do it a little different this year. We're going to go worst to first. So take it away, Chris. Who's the lowest? Who is it? Detroit?
No, it is not.
Washington?
It is. Washington. Washington. We are at, I want to take a guess at the number.
I want to say 17.
I'll say 18 and a half.
The win goes to Eli. It's at 19 and a half. 19 and a half.
Oh, that's a brutal number.
What are we taking, boys?
I'm taking the under.
I'll take the over because I think they do have Jordan Poole who will single-handedly score like 50 points in like 18 games.
Jordan Poole, like the standard deviation will just get him.
Yeah, that's my guess. He's also on my fantasy team, so.
You go. Yeah, you gotta pump up them rookie numbers.
I'm going under, guys. I'm sorry. I got to go under. This is going to be generational losing here.
Yeah, the only thing that might derail that, Chris, is other teams. Like when they face these other tanking teams, you're going to see...
They don't try, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to see, like, G League call-ups from that week. Like, you're going to see a WNBA call-up.
There you go.
Anyway. Okay, is Detroit next?
No.
Okay,
no.
Who we got?
No.
I'll let you run this instead of me. How about that? We talked about.
We got the Brooklyn Nets at 19.5.
Wow.
Brooklyn Nets, 19.5. How are we feeling, guys?
I'm taking the over because I think there's guys they want to feature in order to move, and it's going to bump the numbers early in the season, and then it's just going to be a full-on tankathon after the trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go over because I believe in Jordy Fernandez. I think he'll coach them to more than the win total. So that's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, Eli's got a horse that Jordy Fernandez owns. He's got a bet down to show in the next race. So yeah, I understand that pick. But I'm with you. Everybody in Brooklyn says that they had the hardest training camp they've ever had.
Oh, wow. Okay, you guys sold me. I'll go the over.
Okay, who? Yeah, no, you host this, not me.
Yeah, so next up, we have the Portland Trailblazers at 20.5 for the Portland Trailblazers.
What a weird-ass team.
And some other yeah, just 21.5 on some other boards. But
what a strange team.
Yeah, I'm going under. What about you guys?
I want to go under, too.
Yeah, the West is brutal, isn't it?
The West is, well, not as brutal as the East, I feel like. I feel like the East is, yeah, I feel like the talent's shifted to the East a little bit.
I don't know. I don't feel that way.
Okay.
What about you, Eli?
I think I'll have to go the under here.
What, Harvey Grant does not inspire confidence?
Yeah, I just not very confident in that, and yeah, I just don't think they're gonna be super competitive.
Is Chauncey still coaching there, or did they let him go? Chauncey Billups.
I don't know. That's a good question.
He's still there.
It's like who he coached for.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, so yeah, if he's still there, I'm definitely taking the under.
There we go. There we go. All right.
We got three unders there?
Yeah, we got.
Also, Shaedon Sharpe is out, and I think he's like the guy that needs to play most.
Yeah, so. No, and he looked good, too. I mean, he had his moments.
How long is he out for?
A long time, right? The season?
It's like, no, he just has a shoulder injury, but it's definitely for a bit.
They're probably holding him out the tank.
Yeah, and who was the guy they drafted last? Like, they had a ton of draft picks Scoot. This year and last year.
Scoot.
Yeah, and he didn't look very good last year, did he?
Yeah, no, he's getting clowned on right now.
Like, nice.
Yeah, Markelle Fultz 2.0.
they have a ton of money on... Ton of money into Jeremy Grant. They took Donovan Klingon.
They're paying Ayton, too. Did they re-sign Ayton, too? Did they extend Ayton?
No, they can't have extended Ayton.
Oh, no, they just took the max contract.
No, they just took his awful contract, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, where are we at?
What we got next?
We spent way too much time on the Portland Trailblazers. Yeah,
All right, now we're at the J.B. Bickerstaff-led Detroit Pistons. Nate, 25.5. What do you think? No, I'm going over. Going over.
I'm going over too.
I was just convinced. JB Bickerstaff's the perfect coach for a 34-win team.
Absolutely.
Yes. What do you think, Nate? I mean, what do you think, Eli?
I think I have to go with the over as well. This is his sweet spot.
This is his sweet spot. That's hilarious.
This is where the tank crumbles. Does anybody know if his family bought into a crumble franchise in...
Did he keep the crumbles in
I don't know.
Cleveland?
I mean, I feel like we need to know.
Where's the investigator?
I love that he has almost the exact same bench that he had last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Sidney Lowe is still there.
God, I love it.
I'll always love JB. I'm glad that we're going to play him three or four times a year.
What'd you guys think of Donovan Mitchell wearing the headband after JB made that comment?
Well, oh, no. You got to give us context
here. Did you think he was trolling?
I don't know the story. Give us context.
So there was a quote that was given by JB Bickerstaff talking about how he outlawed hoodies and other accoutrements in practices in Detroit. Like he said that it's an old school thing. You know, my dad taught me you're not allowed wearing anything on your head during practice and during games. So, and then like what happened was the Cavs played the Pistons in the preseason and Donovan Mitchell wore a headband. And
I think he's just messing with him. Like, I don't think it's malicious.
I don't think it's malicious, but do you think it was like kind of like a little troll bit?
I think it's a troll bit, but not in a mean-spirited way. Let's put it that way. Like,
Yeah. No, but it was because like he never, because somebody, people made something of it because Donovan never wears a headband.
I think he did it on purpose, but I also don't think he's trying to like, I don't think it's LeBron level subtweeting.
Okay, there you go. What about you, Eli? Did we lose?
Eli, put the racing form down.
Oh, wait, I thought it might have been the dog. I thought the teacup.
No, puppy. I already said I'm the over for JB, so.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting team. I did like how the Cavs got clowned by Lamar Stevens in the preseason. That was great. Like, that is the ultimate Lamar Stevens game right there.
Would any of you guys take Lamar right now?
That is a devil's bargain.
Lamar or Georges Niang?
Oh, God. Why would you do this to me?
I'd rather play with four.
Yeah, exactly. That's a cursed question. I'm sorry. Okay, we can move.
So, in a movie about fraternities, that would be known as a dogfight.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
I would ever endorse that sort of thing.
I'll move on to better things. The Jazz at 27.5. What do we got, guys?
Another team full of ex-Cavs.
Right. I'll go over.
Yeah, I like the over there. The only thing is that I feel like Ainge is desperately going to try and find a way to shut down Laurie, if they're winning too many games.
What are they doing? What are they even doing? Like, do they need to tank still? Is that what the deal is?
I guess. I don't know what they're doing. Like, they have a lot.
They want to trade Laurie. Well, like, they wanted to trade Laurie, but they asked for a crazy ass price. So like, what's the point of that?
I and now that they extended him, they can't trade him this year, right?
I don't think they can
trade him till next summer. So it doesn't make any sense to me. So, and all their draft picks are like middle of the lottery.
Yeah, they're garbage. Or, like the Cavs picks.
Sorry, not middle of the lottery, middle of the first round. Middle to late. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but I think they'll... what's the number?
I believe it was 27.5.
Oh, that's
possibly
terrible.
28.5. 27,
28. Can I take a push?
Sure.
I'm going to take a push at 28.
One push.
I'm going to push at 28. Push.
What did Eli say?
I think I'm actually going to go with the under because I think they'll tank.
Yeah, they're going to find a way to sit Lori, right?
And also, I think it's really weird because, Ainge wants a crazy-ass return for Kessler, but Kessler's not even starting now.
Didn't make any sense either.
At center. Oh.
Juice Collins.
John Juice Collins? Nice.
Oh, yeah, to get the money's worth out of that.
And then Taylor Hendricks is starting at the four.
Oh, well, they need to play him, though. Isn't he pretty good? Like, he's got promise, right?
Yeah, he was like a top 10 pick, so they want to play him, obviously.
Who's starting at point guard? Is it Sexton?
Keontae George and Sexton are starting in the backcourt for them, I think.
Well, can I change to the under?
Wow, one last dagger.
Oh, poor Laurie.
Come on.
Poor Laurie.
Yeah. You do have Filipowski, though, so.
Yeah. You're not selling it.
This is the reverse.
The Jazz are like the reverse Cavs. They have like a bunch of like 6'8", 6'9", 6'10" guys, but they have like no good guards.
Yeah, they are the reverse Cavs. Although both teams can put a white out lineup out there. So That is a rarity. Definitely in today's Utah. Game. No, I saw it in the preseason for Cleveland, too. So there you go.
Wow.
Take that for what it's worth.
We got the Raptors at 28.5. Raptors, 28.5. I'm going under because I'm a hater.
I'm going to go over just because they always seem to outperform and develop internally well. So I'm going to take the over. Plus, Scotty Barnes. How's he looking in preseason, Chris? I know you lead the Scotty Barnes hate train.
Yeah, I didn't watch him. Why would I watch him? I like basketball.
No, I just assumed that knowledge would filter to you and you would...
Oh, I'm full hate. No, it supposedly looks good, but I gotta maintain my hate. I can't perish the thought.
You bathe in Scotty Barnes brand haterade. So
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Shout out to Evan Mobley. I'm doing my part.
Eli, did you take the over or the under?
Definitely. I'm also with you. I'm going with the over. I actually think they're going to be a surprise team.
What? Why?
Yeah, dude. I'm a believer of Barnes, and I think RJ Barrett is kind of, he's been so hated on. I think he's a little underrated at this point coming into this year.
Yeah, and they got Poeltl. Like, he's a solid center.
They have Poeltl and Olynyk.
Who makes jump shots for them? Well, I guess Olynyk does, but who makes jump shots for them outside?
Grady Dick and Emmanuel Quickley.
Yeesh.
Did you guys hear
Bruce Brown? Bruce Brown, too.
Did you guys hear about the Grady Dick T-Mac commercial team up for Gillette?
No.
Yeah, apparently there's going to be a bunch of Grady Dick and T-Mac Gillette commercials.
There's going to be a lot of Grady Dick commercials given his last name.
And yeah, exactly. We'll just move on. Who we got next?
Wow.
Actually, okay. Let's take a break real quick.
Okay, there we go.
Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. Chris Francis is taking us through NBA over-unders. I'm Nate Smith. Eli Kim is here. Let's get to
the
next team. Yeah, Eli is he's fan-dueling it up here.
Okay, who do we leave? Okay, we discussed the Raptors, so we are on to the Chicago Bulls, Central Division opponent, at 28.5. What do we say? I'm going to go over.
That's a weird one. That's a weird one.
It's a tough one.
Because
are they going to tank?
But also Lonzo Ball, like, setting medical history.
I know.
Like, and the first guy with a cartilage replacement in his knee.
I mean, he didn't look great, but he
but yeah, but he looked like by all accounts, he was done.
Yeah, no. He shot the shit out of the ball against the Cavs. I know
he
that.
Did. No, he looked very good, and his form looked better, and he looked as good as I've ever seen him. And when he was healthy, you know, 2-3 years ago, he was a very good pass first point guard. So yeah, that's a weird team.
Yeah, they were a great team when he was healthy. So it's can he stay healthy? Can you bank on the health of Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, well, and then also Zach LaVine's situation, so weird. They desperately wanted to move him, and he, by all accounts, desperately wants out, but they couldn't get any. Like, they were going to have to attach assets to get someone to take him. So he'll clearly be featured early in the season to try and build his value. Plus, you got Vucevic, who's a solid starting center, but just way overpaid and can't guard anybody outside of the basket anymore, right? It's a weird team.
Fair. Yeah,
but Patrick Williams looks good, too, in preseason.
Did we get an over or under from you, Nate?
I think I got to go over. I think I'm with you.
I'm going under because I do think they'll get rid of Zach LaVine at some point.
You think they'll tank finally?
Well, if they get rid of Zach LaVine, how will that help the under?
Well, on top of that, there is some breaking news actually that happened. So apparently Rudy Gobert agreed to a 3-year, $110 million extension right before this game. So
what? Are you kidding me? Again?
You know what that means. It means a global pandemic is coming.
Wow. Wow. That is crazy. I mean, am I being crazy? That's crazy, though, right?
He's gonna be so clean. How far out does that contract go? How old will he be when that contract is up?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Googling, it would not be a Cavs podcast without hot Googling action at the racetrack.
Right. That's right.
So here's the reason. So he declined his $47 million player option next year and gets 3 years on top of that. So it's until 2027.
Yeah. So how old is he now?
He'll be 35.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, they got 2 years of certainty, basically, where he was uncertain. So he was going into a lame duck season this year.
Yeah, and he lowered his per year number, but extended out.
Got another year. Yeah,
yeah, because you got to think that $47 million, he's not going to make $90 million across those next 2 years, being 34 and 35 years old. So that's actually. Is the whole thing guaranteed, or is it a partial guarantee in the last year?
He has a player option for the last year.
So oh, wow.
He obviously will take that.
You would think. Yeah. He's not getting any less tall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And to his credit, he's always overweight. Yeah. Yeah, and he's always kept himself in shape, at least physically. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that is a weird one. But yeah, the Bulls are a weird team, but also they're one of those teams that they have a high propensity for injury too. So I think Eli could be right on here, but just on paper, I'm taking the over. Okay, Chris.
Hawks. We got Hawks.
No matter how high it is, how low it is, I'm taking the under.
33.5?
Under.
Oof. Easy. Easy money.
Under.
That screams easy money. What are we missing? Are we missing anything, Eli?
I'm taking over, guys.
What? Are you kidding? How?
Yeah. They don't have a backup point guard, and their starting point guard is Trae Young.
But they just always end up with 40 wins, I feel like.
Do they?
What did they have last year?
This year.
They didn't have 40 wins last year.
Didn't they make the play-in last year, though?
I think they did.
Did not have 40. You're right. They had 36 last.
Wow.
36 and they're not better than they were last year. Like that number makes no sense to me. That's an under all the way. Easy money, like you said. Even though your boy Jalen Johnson just got paid.
I know. I hate to go against him. Maybe that's what they're banking on. That has to be what they're banking on. Is that some of the guys are young enough that they will improve, but. That's just hard to see.
No, I don't see it either. And Trey is, like, he's the most overpaid player in the league, in my opinion. But you know how I feel about Trey. I've always hated him.
Isn't their first overall pick also, like, not starting for them?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was a disaster, obviously. Like, they could have had somebody impactful, like, well, I forget who showed out in the preseason, but hell, you know, rather have Jalen Tyson.
No, it's easy money. Okay, let's go next.
Okay, next up, we got.
Oh, sorry, just hit the mic.
The Hornets at 30.5, let's say 30.5. Hornets at 30.5. I'm going to go under.
Wait, 38.5?
30.5. 30.0. The highest is 33.5. So the most common one is 30.5.
I'll take the under. I don't see how that team got better.
No, I'm with you. And this new ownership group, they got to want to tank. Like, tanking is what they need to do, right?
Yeah.
They don't have enough good players. The only thing that might change that is Brandon Miller. Was it Brandon Miller looked really good last year?
Yep. Yeah, he looks amazing this year.
Yeah, that could change that. They also got Grant Williams, which doesn't
Mark
help that.
Williams.
Yeah, they have a lot of Williams.
I think Mark Williams is injured though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're not very deep.
You know what? No one believes in LaMelo anymore.
Well, I think he's good, but he's a guy that makes theoretically could make good players better. But yeah. Yeah, his development's kind of stalled a little bit. Who's coaching them now? Is it still Steve Clifford or did they? Oh, KJ. Who's coaching them? Damn it.
CJ Lee or something. Charles Lee, right?
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So he's from the Bucks.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I've actually heard, so here's a little insider knowledge from the slop chat, is that a guy involved with skill development infrastructure of basketball, like at the professional level and in high amateur level, was saying that he was impressed by Charlotte's now moving in the right direction in terms of like player skill development and personnel development and stuff like that. So,
yeah, but that doesn't mean they're doing anything to win more games this year.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. No, but that they'd be trending in the right direction for the future. So I thought that was interesting.
Interesting and also irrelevant. Next.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so we all took the under?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So we got the Clippers.
Well, we took a lot of overs early, so we got to balance this out.
Yeah, exactly. Clippers 35.5. I'm taking the under.
Oh, what a... Yeah, it all depends on health, but...
Yeah, it's all about Kawhi.
I'm going to take the over just because Ty Lue's going to scrabble together a play-in somehow. No, I'm taking the over, but it's not by much.
I'm going to go under. I just don't see how.
Do you think they blow it up at midseason or no?
They should.
I mean, this team is already blown up, isn't it? Like, they're not paying anyone a lot except for Leonard.
No, they still got stupid contracts on the book. They've got... They have some dumb contracts still.
Well, they got Harden is the other main one.
I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I'll go under. I think they're going to... I don't think Kawhi is going to play enough.
Exactly. That's what I... That's
and
my calculation.
I don't know if how long you can... You can't be close to a 500 team if Norm Powell is like your second highest player. Like your... second highest paid player that's playing.
That's fair.
Also, okay, P.J. Tucker is still in the league somehow. 39 years old.
Collected $12 million with that Rudy Gobert contract.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, we got the San Antonio Spurs, 35.5. What say you? I'm going to go over.
I'm going under just because they know they need to tank one more year. So they'll find a reason to sit. They'll like find a reason to sit Wemby towards the end of the year.
I'll go under because I think everyone loves them too much right now.
So I'm the only one that went over, huh? Okay. I'll take it.
I think they are a year away still. Let's put it that way.
They are, but they have another team's pick. They have Atlanta's pick, so they don't necessarily need to tank.
That is true.
So that's why I'm going over, is because I just think Wemby.
What's the number?
Good. 35.5.
Oh man, you're killing me. That's a good number.
That's a big number.
Yeah, it's a big number. No, actually,
I think they're gonna just miss that.
Yeah. Well, I'm still sticking the over, but I'm more shaky on it than I was. Wait, what did Eli take? He took the under too.
Under.
Yeah. Damn it. Okay. Lakers 42.5. Lakers 42.5.
You know what? I'm going to change my mind. I'm taking the over on this. You went the other way. I forgot they had Chris Paul, who will bitch his way into 3 wins.
Okay. See, there you go. There you go. Will it come at the expense of the Lakers at 42.5, Nate?
Oh God, what a! I'm gonna I'm going to roll the dice and take the over.
Whoa. And people call you a hater.
No, I just think they'll grift their way. They'll press that free throw advantage even more this year.
Yep.
I'll go with the over as well.
Oh my God. Both of you?
Oh, man. I think the NBA will do everything they can to get them into the playoffs.
That's true. But still, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. But God, man, I'm ending up on the opposite side of you guys for a lot of these. Okay, Rockets, 42.5. I'm taking the under.
I'm taking the under. I don't understand that number.
Yeah, I'm out on that. Under.
Reed Sheppard is good. He's legitimately good.
Well, that is true, but...
But Jalen Green is still there, so that's a problem.
Yeah, and who's their coach? Mazzulla. Not Mazzulla.
No,
The guy Mazzulla replaced. Ime Udoka. Yeah. Yes. To me, there's just too many toxic personalities there. And too many.
You have Şengün and Reed is reason enough to believe. And Van Vliet is a pretty solid three.
It is. I just feel like it's not great vibes. Like, there's too many people that don't work from a vibe perspective.
Maybe.
So I'm taking
Eli
the under.
Took the under. Eli took the under.
I'm taking the under, too. And I think the West is too good.
Yeah. Wait, no, wait. Eli didn't take the under, did he?
No, I took the under.
Oh, you did. Okay, so we are in agreement about that one, I think. So the Heat at 43.5. I'm taking the under on them.
I'm taking the under. I think this is the year. I think the Jimmy drama sinks them.
Let's go. I love it. I love it, Nate.
This is the Jimmy Butler wears out his welcome year.
Let's go. What about Eli? What you got, Eli?
I'll take the under. I think Jimmy is not the same player, and he's slowly declining already.
Nice. I love it. Okay, we got Warriors, 43.5. I'm going under.
I'm actually, who did they replace Clay with?
Podzemski.
Yeah, Podzemski.
No, but didn't they sign somebody too?
I don't think that matters.
Or traded for somebody?
Podzemski's going to be in the starting lineup. So.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over. I feel like
Buddy Hield.
That's who it is. Yeah, I'm going to take the over. Just because I feel like this is kind of Curry and Dre's last hurrah. Or at least Dre's last hurrah, and then Curry. I just feel like they're going to benefit from not having played a lot in the postseason the last couple of years and having... I feel like this is the last hurrah for them. I feel like they're giving it one last try.
Yeah.
It's the last dance, if you will.
I'll take the over as well. I think it's interesting that they got some good bench pieces. I mean, Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, D'Anthony Melton. I think that's a really good bench.
Steve Kerr has always been able to do is build a bench that can win regular season games. I mean, hell, he got Jordan Poole paid, so.
That's a good point. We got the New Orleans Pelicans at 45.5. I'm going under.
I'm going over. The reports are in that Zion looks like he's in amazing shape again.
I'm under. Wow. I know Fat Boys. I'm one of them.
So. Yeah. Got him.
The Korean Channing Fry speaks.
That's right. That's right. Insider knowledge on Cavs the blog right here. Cavs the podcast right here.
Nice.
There we go. Grizzlies, 46.5. I'm going under.
Ja Morant situation is way too volatile. And who are their bigs?
Well,
I mean, they
get,
yeah.
Zach Edey looks amazing.
I forgot about Zach Edey. Yeah, he does look amazing. And they've still got Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yep.
And they've got
Desmond Bane.
Desmond Bane.
Still like taking the under because I'm a hater.
Marcus Smart.
Yeah. Ah! They seem...
What a fraud.
Yeah, but they seem Luke like Kennard. A team that's going to be hard to beat.
Go Duke.
I'm going to take the under, but I still think they make the playoffs. Like, the under, but just. I think they're a 46-win team.
What did Eli say?
Under.
Under, yeah, let's go. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, Pacers, 46.5. I'm going under.
Eli?
I'll go over. I think they're going to take a step forward. And I like Nesmith. I like Siakam and Turner. So I think they'll take a step forward.
Yeah, I hate to say that, but I think you're right. I think they're a 50-win team.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I just think they're super deep.
Surrounded by Indiana fans.
I'm not a fan. Worse. I'm afraid.
Worse.
I've got fear.
We got the Orlando Magic, 47.5. What do we got? What did they do last year?
What did they do in the offseason?
Well, no. I mean,
they were 47 how many wins? Last year.
Won 47 last year. I'm going over on the Magic.
Yeah, that's a weird team.
They won 47.
Yeah, I'm going over. I can see
this is probably the year Paolo makes the leap, right?
I'll take the over as well.
I just talked you into it. Yeah, I got to take the over. Like, Paolo could be really good this year.
Yeah, and Franz could honestly.
Yeah, Franz had a down year shooting last year, and they still won that many games.
What if he fixes his shooting? Yeah, exactly. What if he takes a leap into play? Yeah, I still don't
love their guards, but they
improved it though slightly, didn't they? They got KCP.
They did, but
he is old.
And he's also a guy that I don't want to say he's a system guy, but he's a system guy.
No, he is. That's fair. Yeah. I'd say.
I mean, he does well in that system, but I think he's going to struggle a little bit, like without Jokic feeding him sweet looks.
Yeah. Wait, did we get an answer from Magic? Oh, yeah, he said over. Okay. Phoenix Suns, 48.5. What do we got? Are we Bud believers?
I got to look at that roster.
I'll take the under.
I'll take the under too.
I
want to take the over because Bud. So I've read some intriguing stuff that Bud's fixed the offense for them.
So yeah, but like who's their point guard?
I mean, de facto, I think it's Booker.
Yeah, and he did look good in the Olympics, running point, right? He played point.
Actually,
in the
Olympics. He was a glue guy in the Olympics. But he still looks stellar. It was more that he was able to be flex. He was versatile, basically.
Yeah,
showed his versatility.
I'm going to take the over just because I think they have too much talent, and I think they've actually got a coach that makes sense for them this year.
I'm a Bud believer. Yeah, to me, it's just
Bud's problem has never been the regular season.
Yeah. KD staying healthy scares me. So I don't know. What about you, Eli?
I'll take the under. I just think they're not going to be healthy enough, and I think all those guys are getting older and older. So
made of glass, huh?
Made glass. Who was the other glass team you guys were making fun of?
The Cavs.
Oh yeah. Whoops. Okay. Milwaukee Bucks, Central Division rival, 49.5. I'm taking the under.
Okay, let's break before Milwaukee, and then we'll be back to wrap this up. Okay, welcome to the lightning round of Cavs, the podcast, where we do the top 10 teams. You know, we spent all our time on the shitty teams. Now we're going to do the top 10 because Eli got to go. Okay.
Okay. Milwaukee Bucks at 49.5. I said under.
Under.
I'll take the under as well.
Don't trust the health there.
Don't trust Haslams.
That's right. That's right. Philadelphia 76ers at 49.5. I'm taking the over.
I'm taking the over. They're just too deep.
Yep.
Although, did you hear?
They're injured already.
Yeah, and did you hear who was getting on? Shaq was getting on him, or no, KG was getting on Embiid for sitting out back to backs, which I love. I love it. Bring the hate.
There you go. What did Eli say? Over?
I will take the over as well.
Yeah, I'm taking the over. Ooh. Just because they're too deep. But I'm late season playoff collapse.
There you go. Dallas Mavericks at 49.5. Over. I'm taking the over.
I'm taking the over too. This is MVP season for
Luka.
For Luka, yeah, he's in shape.
I want to take the under.
Yeah. Eli doesn't trust a fat guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I've seen those cheeks.
Yes, exactly. This is the Eli corollary.
Never bet on a fat horse or a fat NBA player.
That's right.
Also, exactly. I think Clay is washed.
Yeah, that's a good point. God dang it. Eli's making some.
And
I don't like that.
Isn't Tim Hardaway Jr. still on that team?
No, he's not. He's on the Pistons now.
Oh, that's true. I took the over. Okay, keep going.
Denver Nuggets, 50.5. I'm taking the under.
I'm gonna take the over.
Wow.
I will also take the over. I think Jokic is out for revenge this year.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Exactly. I'm thinking the
one fat guy Eli trusts.
Exactly. I'm saying the narrative of the Denver Nuggets era is over. Jokic trade rumors begin.
Trade Murray before they trade Jokic.
I trust Jokic as a fat guy because he's won as a fat guy.
There you go.
All those other guys haven't won yet, so I can't.
Yeah, and his game is not predicated on athleticism. It's just predicated on being really tall and really good at basketball.
All right.
Exactly.
His fat helps him.
Sacramento Kings at 46.5. I'm taking the under.
I'm taking the over. Keegan Murray is the real deal. He's going to emerge as the best player on that team, and has a lot of good players.
You're right. And also, Mike Brown is a regular season merchant. I'm going over.
Yeah. Keegan Murray is the dumbest draft pick I've ever seen of all the people that passed on him.
What do you got, Eli?
I take the over. I think DeRozan is smart, and he'll do his best to blend in. And
I think he can be a late-game closer for them.
Yep.
They just got too many options at the end of games for me.
There you go. Minnesota Timberwolves, 51.5. I'm going over. I believe in the trade. Don't you believe in the trade?
I believe in the trade, absolutely. I'm taking the over. I think they're going to be number one seed in the West again.
Wow.
Weren't they number one last year?
Why are you going number one, Eli? Or under, Eli?
I just think it's going to take time for them to gel. And I also think unless they start starting Naz Reid, I'm not a believer.
Aren't they starting Naz Reid?
No, they're starting Randall, right?
Oh, Julius Randall.
I don't think that's I don't think that's that much of a problem.
Yeah, especially when you got Gobert, you got Randall kind of be a secondary playmaker. I don't have an issue with that.
I also think Conley might be forked. That's my opinion.
Conley is probably. I would agree with that.
Yeah, but they got Vincenzo, who can play the point, and Conley will be the third guard off the bench. Or he'll start, but he'll really be the bench guy. He'll be a starter in name.
He'll do, the honorary Kyle Lowry role.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry role.
Okay, the honorary never trust a big butt and a smile award.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to skip the Cavs for last. So we got the Thunder. It's 57.5.
It's a big ass number.
I'm taking the under. I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back.
I like it, Nate. I'm going with the Heat under.
I'm going under. I don't believe the Chet Holmgren. I think he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, I think it's the tyranny of expectations gets them a little bit.
Wow.
Also, I think Shai Gilgeous will get... I think people are hating on him this year coming in, so...
Ooh, I like it. I love it. You guys are making me...
He's going to have a big fat target on his back every game.
Yeah.
He's not sneaking up on anybody this year.
Yep. We got the Boston Celtics at 58.5. I'm going over.
I'm going under. I think they were really healthy last year, and it was an aberration.
Wow.
I'm going to go over, but here's my hot take. I don't think they're going to win the championship this year.
Ooh, who you got?
Well, let's get to the end.
Okay, Cavaliers. Cavaliers is the end.
Wait, what about the Knicks? Where's the Knicks?
Oh, the Knicks didn't... Wait, did I skip the Knicks?
You skipped the Knicks.
The Knicks are not on the board.
What?
It's because they played tonight, that's why.
Oh.
No, because Boston's on the board still.
I don't know.
The Knicks? Okay, so some reason this board doesn't have the Knicks, but in alphabetical order they do. So Knicks are 52.5.
I'll take the over, but just slightly.
I'm going under.
And then
under.
They fold in the playoffs.
I'm going under.
I'm going under because I feel like they have too many pieces that moved in and out. And I think it's a little deflating that they got the Villanova Knicks and then immediately pulled the rug on it.
Oh, I don't see. I'm taking the over because of Tibbs is a regular season merchant.
There you go. Well, I'm believing in the Dante DiVincenzo hate. Did you guys see any of that shit?
With Jalen Brunson Sr.
Yeah.
I love it.
So good. I know. I loved it too. And I loved it too.
No, but to me, they're a regular season, and then. What's his name? Cat folds in the playoffs again, like he always does.
There you go. Wait, what did Eli say for the Knicks? Oh, he took the over, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I took the under. Sorry, I took the under.
Oh, you did?
Because of the
okay.
Chemistry.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. There we go. All right, Nate, you're the traitor. Okay.
I did say they collapse in the playoffs.
You did. Okay, I'll give you credit for that. The Cavaliers at 48.5. What say you? I'm going over, baby. It's our year, baby. We're going to do it.
I'm going over. I believe in Kenny Atkinson. I believe
right.
This team's going to put up a lot of points, and I think Mobley makes the leap this year.
Yes, Mobley breakout season. Let's go.
I think this is the year Mobley becomes a top 20 player.
Woo!
I will also take the over. I think that the Cavs will take the regular season a little bit more seriously with Kenny Atkinson. Yep.
And I think he will have a better bench lineup.
Yep.
Like, they'll lose more close games because they're not running guys into the ground, but they'll win more games overall.
I like it. I agree. Kenny Atkinson, baby. That's what's up.
Although they will win close games because they'll actually have a coach that knows how to coach and coach. Close games.
I just think the vibes are just totally different this year. It's crazy. Like, it definitely, what a difference a year makes.
No, they seem like they don't give a shit about preseason. Like, they're all about business this year.
Yeah.
And I like that vibe. Like, they're,
I agree with that.
Yeah. They don't have Lamar Stevens posterizing guys in preseason because they don't care about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Who's
your picks for the finals? And who wins? Because Eli's got to get out of here.
I'm taking the Cavs.
Cavs in the finals all the way?
All the way.
Over?
We're doing it, baby. Doing it.
Over
all
who?
The way.
Over who from the West?
I'll take the Thunder because I want the Chet versus Mobley debate
to rage.
Yes, exactly.
That is a bad matchup for Cleveland. No, they have
it's some... happening. And okay. And Adam Silver's worst nightmare.
Okay, Eli,
so screw you, Adam Silver.
Who's your finals picks?
So I actually have, I'll have the 76ers and the Nuggets. And I'll have the 76ers winning.
Whoa, what? So you got Embiid versus Jokic with Embiid winning.
Wow.
Yeah. I just think that this is their year and they went all in. They got
It's PG. Interesting that Eli went with the crypto fat boy and Joel Embiid.
We all
crypto fat boy.
Embiid's never been fat.
Huh?
I don't think I've never seen him beat fat. I've seen him like he's never been thin, but he's not fat.
I guess the criticism is that he's out of shape, not that he's fat. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there is a difference.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna take
Luca's both. Just FYI.
I'm gonna take the T-Wolves, and I'm gonna take just so the Ant can. I'm gonna take the T-Wolves over the Cavs in the finals. And only so the Ant can go play football. Did you hear that? If he wins a ring in the next 2-3 years, he's going to go play football.
What a liar. He ain't ever do it. Moron. He's not walking away from that money.
From that paper. Okay, yeah. Eli, what do you got to pitch? And then get out of here.
I have... Oh, I'm trying to think. What can I pitch here?
Who you got in the 7th race?
Actually, I do have something. I will be rooting heavily for Shohei Ohtani. I don't really like the Dodgers, don't get me wrong, but I just think it's as an Asian American seeing an Asian.
No, it's a cool player. Story. And
it'd be a great story, and that you see the global.
He's not pitching anymore, though, is he?
He will be.
No, he's.
Next year. Next
he's going to pitch again next year.
Yeah, they said it'll start pitching next year. They wanted to give him the year to heal for the Tommy John.
Oh, got it. Okay. That's crazy. Yeah,
just the fact. I think that there was like some weird stat that like 10% of the whole Japanese population watched the game at like 6 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was like 25 million viewers in the world and 10 million were from
Japan. No, and I'm with you because I hate the effing Yankees. That was the...
Yeah, screw the Yankees.
I was so frustrated with that series. Like, Stephen Vogt got on my J.B. Bickerstaff, I can't coach in the playoffs list with some of his boneheaded decisions in the Yankee series, and I'm still pissed about it, but it's just baseball. And that was a super great Guardians year. My pitch is knock off... jerseys from Hong Kong at a tenth of the price of regular jerseys. You know, a J-Ram City Edition jersey at the Cavs team or at the Guardians team shop was $435, which is a ridiculous amount of money. And I paid, I want to say, a little bit more than a tenth of that getting one from overseas. So,
wow.
So
that's crazy.
It is crazy. It's just stupid. Like, you're asking for knockoffs when you're charging that much.
Jesus.
Yeah, if anybody wants the deets, drop me an email.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
This podcast is sponsored by Illegal Knockoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Chinese distributors. Give us a, give us that.
Page. I mean, the problem is they probably were pulling it off the same line that the MLB factories are.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh man, what I have to pitch is since I'm a now lifelong resident of Cleveland, Ohio, as of 3 weeks ago. What I will pitch is getting rid of that stadium on the lakefront. Just bulldoze that shit and just like make it beautiful again because it's an eyesore. It's ugly. Get rid of it. Let the Browns move to Brook Park. Who cares?
Is that where they're going, Brook Park? I thought they were going to Berea.
Wherever. Who cares? Like, honestly, who actually cares? You know?
Yeah, I know everybody loves the Browns. And
there you go.
I think they are the biggest joke in pro sports for the last 24 years. So
yeah, it's an embarrassment.
It is an embarrassment. The Haslams are unfeated.
That's right. That's right.
They're the worst owners in pro sports.
Put them, let them go.
They literally handed the Celtics a championship last year.
We're going to find out if Cleveland taxpayers are billionaire cucks, if they're going to give him $1 billion. So,
to put a dome on the lake? I thought it was done. I thought he was moving to Berea.
It is done. The county, I think the county and the city are trying to sue, but I can't imagine that'll actually.
They got as much luck, much chance as TNT does suing Amazon to get the NBA back.
Exactly. So I think it's a done deal. They're going to build a dome in Brook Park, and I say let them. Let's beautify the lakefront.
But a dome in Cleveland is so stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I could live with a retractable. They should have put a retractable roof on it 24 years ago, but they didn't do it because they were too cheap and short-sighted.
And they also
shouldn't have put it on the lakefront. That was dumb.
Exactly.
You shouldn't have put an outdoor stadium on the lakefront because the wind house threw that thing like.
Oh, my God.
It was one of the worst places I've ever gone to see a game.
Wow. Yeah. No,
And the games in December always sucked because you were watching a fifth string quarterback and a fourth string wide receiver because everybody was always hurt.
So, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the wind is brutal. I didn't realize the wind was so brutal off the lakefront. So that was a reminder that I'd forgotten about.
Yeah, I think I saw three games there, and one was the Dwayne Rudd throwing his helmet game, and I was wearing a Chiefs jersey. the other one was it was literally their backup wide receiver was starting at quarterback at the end of the season, and I can't even remember his name. And the Pee Wee football game that was on at halftime in the snow was better than the actual Browns game. It was against the Titans. And then I did see the one year they made the playoffs before this last one against Atlanta. And it was a terrible. Let's hope that era is over for the Browns.
Yeah.
And
there you go. Yeah. A new era for Cleveland should be get rid of the stadium. Make it sustainable.
Jimmy Haslam gets indicted and goes to federal gets a federal penal felony.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Throw him in jail. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger.
And we're out.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Prescriptions, copays, lab tests. Even with insurance, healthcare can cost thousands every year. But not for me, because I'm enrolled in VA healthcare. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.